The delay is not so bad because I'll be a bit quicker. I'm presenting Fontra, a new Libre font editor, which is GPL licensed, by the way, and which is running in as a web app, basically. You can also run it locally. But the technology is, the interface technology is a web app. And I'm presenting this on behalf of Black Foundry, who are the creators of Fontra, and they can't be here, unfortunately, so they sent me two short videos, which I'm going to show you, and then I try to show to make a short demo. So let's start with Joost.
Hello,
van Rossum.
My name is Joost van Rossum, and I'm speaking to you asynchronously and remotely about Fontra, the browser-based font editor. Briefly, what is Fontra? It's an open-source browser-based font editor, and which obviously runs cross-platform. It's not necessarily a web application. It can run locally, but we also have a server application that would enable live collaboration. A key feature is that it's variable from the ground up, or as we call it, variable first. It's really focusing on variable fonts as well as variable glyphs that can be used as variable components. Why the application was developed? There's a bit of history and context. It was developed at the Black Foundry, Type Foundry in Paris, around some large-scale CGK projects. And one of the features is that we needed collaboration with multiple people working on the same data at the same time in a smooth and frictionless way. We needed a good variable font technology, and variable components has proven to us a key ingredient into making CGK fonts more efficient. Further on, what kind of application it is? It is a hybrid tool with a client-server architecture. The UI runs in a browser, and there's a little server application that is written in Python that runs as a separate application. There are attempts underway to make the whole thing run in the browser. That is currently not yet in production, but that might be coming. So the local application is also handy to access local files. So yeah, that's pretty much the summary of what I just said. Part of it runs in the browser, and part of it is running on your computer or remotely on a server. The block diagram, a bird's eye view. So we have here the browser on the left-hand side where the UI is running. It communicates with a server through a WebSocket and with regular HTTP or HTTPS, depending. The server is divided into various parts. There's how font data is stored is abstracted in a separate component that we call the storage manager or the project manager, that can be configured in multiple ways. So, for instance, there's a component called the file system storage manager that can read and write design space and UFO, to some extent glyphs files. It can read TTF and OTF. And it can also read and write Fontra's own native Fontra format called .fontra. Alternatively, we have an online deployment where the font data is stored in a database, in a database application. We tend to use MySQL for that. Other databases are also possible. Allows for a collaborative version of Fontra, where multiple people can log in and look at the same data and collaborate. This is just a short introduction. We have some short-term future items to do. We're working on implementing kerning editing. We will at some point support vertical layout, also right-to-left layout. Since CGK That means Chinese, Japanese, and Korean fonts is a key feature of Fontra. We would like integration with the IDS. This is a database of ideograms that makes working with Chinese characters more convenient. On the longer term, we are working on a better collaborative functionality. We would like to develop a review system. We would like to build live OpenType features and shaping and better plugins, both in Python and JavaScript. This is the introduction. We have a whole bunch of websites related to Fontra. The starting point is fontra.xyz, and from there you can find all other resources. Thank you very much. My colleagues will show a bit more about the individual drawing and other features of Fontra. Thank you so much.
Yes, it's not the end. That was Joost van Rossum. Now we have a small drawing demo by Gaetan Baers where you can see the user interface and their idea of drawing it. The collaborative feature I was testing 2 months ago at in OSCE at the conference. In a workshop, and I think that's pretty cool, pretty nice for teaching, because the whole class can work on the same font, and it's pretty cool to quickly explore variable fonts. That was my, because it's made specifically for variable fonts. My impression was that it's really fun to get, you know, a feeling for what variable fonts can do and how you can design them. So, Gaetan Baer is in this video is demoing a variable font beginning.
Hello everyone, my name is Gaetan Baer. I will make a quick demo of how to draw with Fontra. We will look at creating axes to create a variable font, adding sources to this variable font, and then how to create a glyph, how to make rectangles, how to modify the shape. And one of the most interesting feature of Fontra is the multi-source edition, meaning that we can design in one time in many different sources. So here what we are looking at is a Fontra font overview with an empty project. It's only empty glyphs here that we can create by double-clicking on them. First, I will create a font axis for making a variable font, basically. So I will click on the button New Axis here, which open this tab. We can choose between standard axis, or if we want a custom one, we can just change the name in the field. For the demo, I will use the weight. It's okay, making like something that go from regular to bold. And so we change the minimum value for 400 for the regular, and maximum value, I will say 700. Then what I can do in a first step is to add sources. We have the default sources, the regular, that is on the default location of the weight axis, and I will create another sources for the bold, basically, at 700. And just between these two sources, I will change the excite value for the bold. I can rename it bold here and change the excite value to be slightly bigger, like this. Then I go back to the font overview and I will create an N. I double click on the N. Now I am in the glyph view. The N is not created yet. I can double click on it to create it. And then start to draw. So I am on the regular source. With the shape tool here, I can create like rectangle like this. That will be the stem of the N. And what I can do is to create directly the source for the bold. So going here. And I will change, so it automatically copies the shape of the regular in the bold, and I will change it. One, two. So now I have a variable font with only the stem for the N. Going back to the regular, I can activate this pencil element. This is about the edition, which source we will we are currently editing, and if I click on another source, we will do what we called multi-source edition. So we see in blue the shapes that exist in the bold source, and I can, if I move the regular, it will move the bold in the same way. So if I copy this shape and paste it, move it on the left, then I have twice the same element, but for regular and bold. And still in Deep Edition, I can start to modify this stroke, add with the pen tool, I can add a point on it. This point will be added in both regular and bold. And then I can modify the design in the same time in the regular and the bold. Now what I will do is to add like handles to create curves. So I will take the pen tool and pressing option, I can click on the stroke and it will add handles like this. And then double click on the points to make them smooth. And I can start to shape directly the shape of the end. And it will shape in the same time the shape of the bold, but the bold will need some extra fine tuning after. Something like this. Okay, in preview, you can modify a little bit more this stroke. Okay, I can press option and move the point in between the handle here. And continue a little bit. Okay, start to look at something not bad. And yes, why not something like this? And then if we go to the bold, so here it's not perfect, but at least we have a base. I can deactivate the multi-source edition and start to fine-tune my bold here. I will use another point tool, this one, that is a scaling edit tool, meaning that when I will move this point, it will move in the same time, recalculate the location of the handle in the curve to keep the same tension, the same feeling of the curve. So I can do something like this. And I have a variable n. So yes, that's about it for this demo. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, everyone.
That was Gaetan. So I think this is really interesting because Libre font editors have a long history, and some are succeeding more, some are succeeding less. But I think this has a lot of potential, also because it's very complete and can be used already or is already used in very professional setups. They have this Fontra Pack, which is the local standalone version that you can run on your desktop. But they don't provide a GNU-less Linux download, so I created this slide for you, so you know how to build it. You clone it, you make ideally a virtual environment, and then you install the requirements, and then you run the Pi installer line, and then it gives you an information as that the results are in the dist directory, which is created, and then you can run Fontra. So I think so. At the end of this talk, I will just try to not to compile it. I did that already. No, sorry, no worries. But to start it on my computer. The interesting thing is though that I have two displays, which I did not factor in. So I prepared something, starting that, and it will probably go on this screen, right? So it gives me just. It starts a window that just asks me to drop files there. And then I have a very big parametric variable font by David Bellow, which is on Google Fonts. So the interesting thing also is this is working really nicely with UFO design space files, which is the way to create variable fonts using UFO. If you don't know what UFO is, it's an XML-based format for font sources, not for font viewing. It's not OTF. And there's a lot of tooling for it, so I can drop this here. And it will open a web browser for me. And then this font has like terribly many axes, so this is like a really hard test for the application. But you see this is all the axes it has. So but it's loading anyways. I can open a glyph, I'm sorry. This is slow because of the many axes. I should have took a better font, whatever. So you see this is variable stuff. This X transparency axis. And same thing as Gaetan did. I can use this tool. Oh, do I have to do this? Show all the... and then use this tool. Not sure if it's on. Whatever, try to edit it. Okay. Don't know how to get to a source. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to break up this demo. Anyways, it's loading on your local Linux. And if you want to try out to create variable fonts, this is a very accessible option. So thank you.
Cool, thank you. Are you here for another question, maybe? If there's any?
If someone has questions, I can try to answer them.
Is there any question? Lucky you.
It's always with the nerdy font stuff, people kind of check out. Oh, there's a question.
Oh, then. Take a mic and answer, please.
I'll do my own Q&A.
I'll try to prepare myself here.
Sorry, I didn't pay much attention in the beginning, but I think you said that you could import existing fonts.
Yes.
So if you want to modify them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it loads TTF, ODF, all that stuff.
Cool. That's an interesting feature. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah, Black Foundry is also very involved in creating ZJK fonts, so it's a good tool to build really big character sets.